This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is 5-on-3, WFUV Sports' best, if only, hockey podcast, taking you around the news from the world of the NHL, and more specifically from our three New York City metropolitan area teams. Today is Friday, October 17th, 2025. We're 10 days in to the 2025-26 NHL regular season. I am Tucker Austin, joined today by Sophia Smith, Emma Leonardi, Lydia Perner, and Abby Cristofaro is behind the glass for us on production this afternoon. But before we get into things, I want to go around the horn here. How are we all doing today? Sophia, we can start with you.
I'm doing fine. I am really excited to talk about these teams and about how the Rangers can't score any goals.
Yeah, it's been a rough go to start for the Rangers. But Emma, how about you?
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's been an interesting beginning to the season, and I feel like there's a lot to talk about, even though it's only been 10 days.
Yeah, I thought I wasn't going to be able to make it, so I'm glad my whole schedule changed. Basically, Kurt asked me to golf today, and initially we'd scheduled it like during this.
Is that why you're wearing a Ryder Cup quarter zip right now?
The thing was, we ended up, I had a meeting at 11:30 that got changed to 3 o'clock, so I was like, all right, like, I texted Kurt at 11:15, I was like, let's move up the tee time, like, let's go, I got a little break.
Where were you going to golf?
Up the tee time.
We went just a little north of here. Okay. We only played 9. But, so that's why, yeah, and then I had to, like, it wasn't Van Cortlandt, I forget what it's called.
It's another short course. All right.
But played well for my standard, shot 12 over, so I was happy with that. Didn't get to change because I literally had to hop right on a couple work calls, but, work week's over.
Yeah, but still made it to
hockey.
The pod, though.
Still here, and, I mean, golf is relevant to hockey because I got into golf this offseason because it was so damn long for me because the Rangers were done on April 17th. And then I'm like, all right, I need a new hobby.
She had a long enough break
to
pick up golf.
Got to get into golf. I'm competing with JT Miller to try and make the U.S. Open next year. So, like, it's on, JT.
Hey, the pro-ams are pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You could maybe sneak into a
maybe,
pro-am.
Maybe, who knows?
Like, who knows? You could wind up playing with JT Miller.
I fixed my swing last week.
Even better, you could wind up playing with Will Cooley in a pro-am.
He played in the RBC Canadian Open, the NHL face-off with Jamie Drysdale, who got a hole-in-one this past summer.
How about that?
That's crazy crossover, yeah.
Great way to connect golf to hockey, too, to make sure we were still on message. But I just had a couple of points in the general news in the NHL before we got into our three teams from the New York Metro. Brady Tkachuk is going to miss 6 to 8 weeks after he got thumb surgery. On Monday, he got cross-checked by Roman Josi during a loss to the Nashville Predators.
It's really funny that it was his thumb, because I was getting alerts that was like, Brady Tkachuk is coming to New York to see a second opinion, and now you're telling me it's his thumb, and I just think it's really funny.
Yeah, I mean, you thought maybe it was worse, but then it's just like kind of like a random thumb. I still don't understand how you miss 6 to 8 weeks for a thumb injury.
That's
crazy. Surely it was some kind of a severe injury. Severe enough to warrant surgery, but it kind of throws a wrench in the Senators' plans.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they were building up to make a little bit of noise this year, but now they'll spend the next 2 months without their leading man, Brady Tkachuk. Also thought this was funny. I brought this up before the show. Jackson Blake of the Carolina Hurricanes was fined the maximum $2,358.94 for slashing Jacob Trouba, now of the Anaheim Ducks, formerly of the New York Rangers. I just thought that was funny because Trouba is usually the one, at least when he was a Ranger, making all of the arguably fine-worthy
like
hits,
a salty Devils
primarily
game.
Against
it was clean,
Devils players.
It was clean
but
on Siegenthaler.
Okay, both skates off the ice, but that's fine.
Was that Rempe? Who was the one that leveled? No, in the playoffs. It
oh,
was
they
Siegenthaler.
Both. They're both guilty. They're both guilty of it.
No.
You guys went and had to
You're
get
just
Curtis
biased.
McDermott or whatever just to handle a 6'8".
And it worked,
guy
didn't
who
it?
Can hardly
it
skate.
Worked. The Devils won that line brawl.
No.
No, they didn't.
Are you kidding?
They won the mental
you
battle.
Know
they
you
won the
lost.
Mental battle.
DeAndre Miller was like ragdolling John Marino.
It's because John Marino is like 5 foot nothing.
Yeah, and
DeAndre
so Miller
why
is
you take on DeAndre Miller. That's his fault.
Because it was
he's
for the
like
culture.
Soft no, that's
it.
His
he was the only guy left who wasn't in a fight, and he was like, "Well, we got to drop him now because we can't be the only guys on the ice
I
when
remember.
The other four pairs
like
are all
skating
fighting
off the ice, like just like pumping up the crowd."
That was so funny.
either way, I think the power rankings is way too early to talk about power rankings. But I was looking at the power rankings earlier today, prepping for the show. They are all over the place depending on what website you use. I've seen like three different top teams in the league, and the middle of the pack is just all over the place too. The general consensus I feel is that the Avalanche and Stars are up at the very top, followed closely by the Oilers and Panthers. Although the Oilers and Panthers are still constructed to make deep cup runs, so I imagine that could wind up flipped by the end of the season. But again, way too early. But also, like, the other thing that comes out of the power rankings for me is that the idea, seemingly across websites like ESPN, CBS, Yahoo, across everybody, is that the New York Islanders are a bottom three team in the league.
Yeah, they suck.
But the Islanders did get a win.
They won last
night. They got their first win of the season last night. So we're going to start our Metro runaround in the Long Island with the New York Islanders. They lost to the Pens on the road in their first game of the season. Then they dropped their first two home games. But then last night, really incredible performance. Were you at the game for
us,
Sophie?
No,
it was Grace. Okay,
she came home so happy.
I mean,
like, she was so happy.
Wait, you're Grace's roommate?
Yes.
Yeah,
sorry,
math
is tough for me these days. No way. Sorry, this is not how I was supposed to find out. That's on me. We fully met before.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Nice little realization for Lydia there, but I mean, man, what a win. This win had the Devils media people talking about the fact that the Islanders won before Sheldon Keefe came out for the press conference.
I mean, it was good that they finally got a win. To start the season 0-4 would have been disastrous. But yeah, like, I think Barzal and Horvat had a hat trick.
Hattie, yeah.
I think it was just like it was the win was due, and the guys stepped up, and it was a good win, especially like against Edmonton, to get like to beat a solid team like them. I think is good for them.
And the Oilers had already beat the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
In Madison Square Garden.
Not on the deserve to win a meter.
Either way, the Oilers were rolling on the road trip. Now they're not. And shout out to the New York Islanders for softening up the Edmonton Oilers before they come to New Jersey tomorrow. But yeah, this was a really awesome win. Matt Barzal scored one of the four goals. He scored the first of the four goals after Evan Bouchard.
Oh my god.
Bouchard also, I think, like, against the Rangers, like, tripped on nothing.
Yeah. We got
that
as
was,
well.
Was that Bouchard?
We got,
I thought, for some reason,
I don't know who
it was.
We got
it. It was either him or Nurse or something.
I was at the game, and the guy, like, sitting next to me was like, I heard him talking to his dad, and he was like, number two on the Oilers. I hate him. He can't play. Like, it was really funny.
Yeah, we got to address Evan Bouchard, because even Ray Ferraro on the ESPN broadcast started saying things like, this may be the worst two periods of hockey I've ever seen a player have in the NHL. Like, Bouchard made so many mistakes, just bad turnovers near the blue line. Barzal scored that opening goal off of a Bouchard turnover.
That was really bad.
And that shouldn't have even been the first goal, because Palmieri had a wide open chance like 5 minutes earlier that he whipped off the post after a Bouchard turnover. But yeah, the other three goals for the Islanders came from Bo Horvat, a shorthanded goal,
yes,
a power play goal, and then an empty netter. So zero goals during even strength.
But
you
know
Bo
what?
Horvat.
The Islanders, I feel like they weren't killing penalties. They weren't scoring the power play. And I'm pretty sure, weren't they the team last year who, like, didn't get an empty net goal until, like, January or something? Like, they checked. They
that
checked
was
the boxes.
I think it was 20, like, the season before.
Yeah.
Because I was at this, when I was at the stadium series, some guy said to me, he was like, they haven't scored an empty net goal yet. And this was
and
February
18th. February. So, you know, we're making moves here, moving on up. Schaefer, we have to talk about Schaefer.
Whoa, Schaefer, we do have to talk about
amazing.
Schaefer.
Amazing. And I just, like, he fits in so well. He does not look like he just came into the league. He is so fast and, like, just noticeable every time he's on the ice.
And he trusts his speed, too.
100%. And like,
it's so rare, especially for an 18-year-old to have that much, like body control.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And, like, you can tell the team around him just, like, trusts him so much and, like, knows that he can, like, he moves the puck so phenomenally, and just, you can tell that he he wants the chances, and like he's not afraid, he's not hesitant at all. It's very fun to watch.
I can't wait for him to be a Maple Leaf in 3 years.
Yeah, it's, Scott Arneil, the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, when he was asked about Matthew Schaefer, and he actually compared him, like, without mentioning the name, he compared him to a certain other young defenseman who came up in Colorado. He's talking about Cale Makar.
Yeah. Oh,
that is an insane comparison to get 4 games in, and we're comparing this kid to Cale Makar.
He has all 4 games, and he's the youngest player in NHL history to record a point in all of his first 4 career games.
Also, even though he got a little bit less ice time last night, I think he's still the time on ice leader on the New York Islanders this year, which is another, like, that's absolutely ridiculous. Like, especially, like, first year in the show, you think he's going to, like, need time to acclimate to the, like, the speed, time also, to like, acclimate to the stamina.
The teams that he's been playing against, it's like Crosby, Ovechkin, and McDavid. Yeah, like, you can't, it doesn't get harder than that.
Like,
he's
a
thriving
tour of the best players in the last 10 to 15 years. It's unbelievable. But also, shout out Jonathan Drouin for passing to Bo Horvat to get him the hat trick with the empty net. Could have taken the goal himself, but he didn't.
Unselfish, man.
And Dave Rittich, too. He made some really nice saves
in
this game.
Yeah, his first win with the Islanders.
First win with the Islanders, and I think in large part due to the fact that he spent several years in Calgary, so he was dealing with Edmonton a lot then, and he was in the Western Conference from 2016 up until this year when he was playing in the Western Conference before he got traded to the Islanders. So, I mean, 9 years in the same conference with the Edmonton Oilers. He was plenty familiar with them.
Yeah.
He made some good stops on McDavid, too.
He did.
He's a hard guy to stop from scoring.
Saves.
Yeah, just excellent game from him. So, I mean, after a game like that against the Edmonton Oilers, are the Islanders really a bottom three team in the league? I don't know. A kid like Schaefer can really carry an organization. And especially if he continues on the path that he's already on, point-per-game player, like, he could turn the Islanders, make what would have been a really bad rebuild year, turn it into a slightly competitive year.
They play Ottawa tomorrow, and then the Sharks, the Red Wings, the Flyers. Like, they can go on a streak here.
It's a beautiful schedule.
Like,
yeah.
Cause
Sens with no Tkachuk.
Exactly. I'm seeing a 5-game win streak, actually.
That would turn Long Island on its head, but in a good way. I think the fans would love to see that because the expectations were not really anywhere coming into this
season. And that's why
season.
I think that last night was such a fun win, and I'm happy for them and the Islanders fans.
They played great. They really did. They played great against a really good Oilers team.
Even the game that I went to on Monday, I felt like they played really well and they didn't get the win, so it was good to see them get it last night.
Yeah, and like you said, back in action tomorrow are the Islanders in Ottawa at the Senators at 3 p.m. But let's bounce it over to the New Jersey Devils real quick. We are talking about the Rangers last because I am A-hosting. Usually I would put the Devils first, but
that's
thought it was
time to talk about.
It's a good segue from the general news to the Islanders. But anyway, the New Jersey Devils have the best record in New York City, in the New York City area.
They're not in New York City.
Yeah, you guys are in New Jersey.
In the New York City area, you know, there's a reason we also talk about the Devils. It's because they're close enough.
Close enough to New York City.
Devils are 3-1.
Literally nobody cares.
Opened the season with a 3-game road trip. They went 2-1 after dropping the first game of the season to the Hurricanes.
Shout out, Keandre.
They cannot figure out how to win in Carolina still to this day. And yes, Keandre Miller did pop off against the Devils. But the Devils last night, after that opening loss to Carolina, they went to Tampa, got the win against the Lightning. Not a pushover of a team, maybe not the same Lightning that we were used to from a few years ago, but they still got some good players over there. And then they went to Columbus, who, like, the Blue Jackets are another team that are kind of supposed to be making a step forward and a jump up this year. They went on a 6-game win streak to end last season, made a run at the playoffs, didn't quite get in, but they kept a lot of that group together. Devils got a really gritty 3-2 win against the Blue Jackets on the road. So they go 2-1 to open the season on the road, come home for the home opener against the Stanley Cup champions, the Florida Panthers. It's not an easy task. And last year, the home opener was Sheldon Keefe's first in the Rock. It was against his former team, the Maple Leafs. So it was kind of a weird experience. The Devils wound up losing the home opener last year. But this year, Oh my goodness, the script was different. The script was so much different. Me and Dom Sansone, we're both the Devils beat reporters this year. We were both on the scene last night, and this the Prudential Center was rocking.
Yeah, all 20
last
fans.
Night. Oh no, there was more than 20 in the building last night.
22.
There were plenty of fans. The rally towels were out for the first game of the, for the first home
we
game
got
of the
t-shirts.
Season. Who needs T-shirts?
Me.
I don't.
What am I gonna do with a towel? A Devil's towel, like.
Either way, Devils take down the Stanley Cup champs in the home opener. It was an early goal for Evan Rodriguez, but then goal from Jack Hughes. He went top cheese, top left corner, clean goal. Picked his spot perfectly. Also on the power play, on that goal, Jesper Bratt is the best player in the NHL. He got his 300th NHL and New Jersey Devils assist of his career, so shout out to number 63. Timo Meier got the game-winning goal on a crazy tip off of Simon Nemitz. Looked like a pass, was kind of a shot, not really. Tip-in is good either way. Nico Hischier got the nail in the coffin to make it 3-1 in the third period. Devils just outskated the Florida Panthers in the second and third period in this game. But I do have to say there is an excuse for the Panthers,
yeah.
And it's that they were playing on a back-to-back. They had literally just played in Detroit the night before and then got on a plane to New Jersey and played the Devils, and Bobrovsky didn't play either.
And they're missing, like, their star players.
They're also missing Sasha Barkov, yes. Yeah. And I think Kulikov also missed the game last night due to a different injury. But everybody else played.
Obviously, Kachuk is out, too.
Right, yeah, you know, Kachuk, yeah. But, like,
wait, yeah, is he out for, like, half the season?
Yeah, he is.
Half the season,
I
think?
Yeah.
I don't remember how long exactly
yeah,
it is.
It's this season.
Oh,
I think
this year.
Until December or something?
Oof. That's
yeah.
I mean, the Panthers didn't even have that good of a regular season last year either.
No, they always like have sort of a bumpy ride, and then they just do really well in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So
because they're like built for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm trying to find.
But
this,
they started the season. I think they won their first three games, and then
yeah, they're 3-3 right
yeah.
now. Yeah.
And then they lost three.
At least December, so could be worse. Torn adductor. So.
Is that like your shoulder or whatever?
I don't remember exactly, so I'm not gonna try and guess.
I don't know what it is.
I feel like that like is like your hip.
I don't know. But Kulikov is gonna be out for a long time too. So they're just missing people
I
over there.
I feel like there's a machine at the Ford.
They're missing a handful. But to be fair,
it's your hip, right?
Like the Devils are also missing some players. Mm. Maybe not the
it's like your hamstring.
Maybe not like the same level of players that Florida is missing, but I mean I would say the Devils were out Jacob Markstrom. He was supposed to play that game, but Markstrom is gonna be out for quote a couple of weeks, end quote. That's the best we've gotten out of Devils media about Jacob Markstrom's lower body injury that he suffered against the Blue Jackets. A couple of weeks, so nothing concrete, but it's just up to Jake Allen now.
That sucks.
Yeah, well, I mean, Stefan Nason got hurt before the season even started. Kovacevic is still injured, although Stefan Nason took reps on the fourth line today in practice. He's not going to play against Edmonton tomorrow, but he should be coming back within the next week or so, I'd have to imagine. But 36-year-old Evgeny Dodonov remains on the injured reserve. He fractured his hand in the Carolina game, and at 36 years old, any injured reserve time is going to be rough on the legs coming back. So,
yeah.
I mean, the Devils have the injury bug is already here. It may have never left, but as long as the studs stay healthy, it should be okay. And especially the way that Timo Meier's playing, like, looks like the Devils have finally gotten the Timo Meier that they traded for in the first place. He hasn't really found the goal-scoring capability that they want out of him, but now he's got that almost goal-per-game pace now.
Already.
Yeah, and goals in the last three games. Didn't score in the first one, but he scored in all of the last three. In the last two road games, he scored the first goal for the Devils in both of those, so he's like he's not feeding off of momentum. He's creating the momentum. All good things. I think the Devils should be really happy with a win, even if it was a weakened Panthers team. I think they still, like, system matched up against system. I think the Devils were just the better team on the ice. So that was really great to see, but they got another test tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. They're hosting the Edmonton Oilers, who just lost to the New York Islanders.
That's a tough game.
It should be interesting. I wonder if the Oilers are going to run Skinner out there after losing to the Islanders two nights before. It should be their backup, I imagine.
It won't be Skinner. Calvin Picard.
You think Picard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll play.
Most likely. I mean, he's not a bad option either, though.
No,
so.
They're both like kind of middle of the pack.
Yeah,
so.
The Devils are going to need. They're going to need to bring it against the Oilers either way. Oilers, I think, if I remember correctly, last year, the Oilers, when they came to New Jersey, they got the win against the Devils in the Rock. So Devils are really trying to build the Rock into a fortress this year. And in game one, it was evident with the fans were great. The energy was awesome. The players all said that they fed off it post game. So if they can make New Jersey a really hard place to play, things should go well for the Devils going forward. But anyway, yes, they play the Oilers tomorrow, and that brings us to the third. I wouldn't say they're struggling. They're definitely not struggling as much as like the Islanders should struggle. But
they're
based on what's happening, like
I'm struggling.
Based on recency bias, like the New York Rangers are struggling. They're 2-3-1 to start the season.
That could so easily be 5-0-0.
Seriously, 6-0-0.
Like. home shutouts? Are we serious?
No,
no way.
I think it's
you have
be 5-1.
These games that the Rangers are losing,
it's ridiculous.
They're by far the better team.
Baffling thing I've ever seen.
They are like in the expected goals in each game, in the game against the Capitals, in the game against the Oilers, and
oh my gosh,
they were like +2 over.
Yeah.
They're genuinely getting
like
goals.
Expected
they were also
goals
the expected goals was over 4.
They
last
were also
night.
+2 last goal. Night.
Okay, last night that
Toronto.
Makes sense because like watching the game back last night against the Toronto Maple Leafs, yes, there were so many good opportunities for the Rangers to score.
The high danger chances were 13-4 Rangers.
The
fact that the only goal scorer for the Rangers was Parsonen
out of
everyone on their roster
the
who
thing,
had
the 13
good chances
high
last
danger
crazy.
But the
chances
thing that sucks
and
about
only
this
one goes in
is last year like genuinely they played so horribly that like if you aren't watching the games you really would be angry. But watching the games, I'm not angry. I'm just like confused and I'm
so
frustrated.
Confused.
It's they are playing so well.
And it
defensively their structure is absolutely incredible.
And that's why it's ridiculous because the past few years we've been begging for good defense from this team and now that they're finally doing it, they can't score. They're not giving up 40 shots a game. They're giving up like in the 20s, like low 30s, which And they still can't score. They're not getting the offense that they should be.
They are getting the offense.
But
that's
they can't
the thing.
Finish. Nobody can finish.
It's not even saying they can't finish. Like
no,
Charlie
they can't
Lindgren
finish.
Will
I don't
never
care.
Make that save again. Stolarz will let that Cooley goal in 9 times out of 10. Carrick hit the post against the Oilers.
No, I know.
Schneider
so
hit the
many
post.
Posts.
Like this is just it feels like it's like. Power above,
but it's like at
because
what
this
point?
Is ridiculous.
At what point does it become a problem though?
So God cursed the Rangers.
They have one goal in three games and 0 goals in their 3 games at home.
I have the expected goals right here from the last 3 games. So the Rangers had 3.3, basically essentially 3 goals expected, and the Capitals had 1 expected. They lost that game 1-0 against the Oilers. It was a round up 4-1, and against the Leafs round up 5-3. So they're
ridiculous.
Pretty much +2 every game. They just I liked what JT Miller said after the Oilers game before the media could even ask questions. He said, "Look, we're 5 games into the season. We are playing as good of hockey since I've gotten here defensively. I do not want to take like if we play like this all season, we're gonna be a very good team. We're gonna win a lot of hockey games. The puck just has to start going in, and we're getting the chances. And these shots, if they play like this, they will eventually fall. Like this is, they are playing as good as they can to win these games. They just something's got to give eventually. And I know how ridiculous that sounds because they have." You know, they haven't scored at home yet. It took them till the third period, and it was Uso Parsonen to get that goal. But they, if they keep playing like this, they are going to win a lot of hockey
games.
I
just feel like there's just no way. Like, how can they not score? Like, you have a team with Panarin, Zibanejad, JT Miller. I know Trocheck's injured, but it's like these three guys should at least have one goal combined in the last three games. There's no reason.
It's not like they're not producing the opportunities either. Like, they're getting pretty good looks that they just aren't finishing.
They are being absolutely robbed by goalies.
I know.
I mean, did you see that save? Mike Sullivan literally referenced the Charlie Lindgren save post game after Edmonton because he was still like,
he was
how
still
the
talking
F did that
about
not
it.
Go in?
I'm sitting in like the fourth row at MSG and I'm watching Stuart Skinner make the. I'm watching the puck go in the crease and just somehow it's not going in.
Stuart Skinner, who we got to trash literally for free like all of last spring.
Exactly.
Stuart Skinner
understand.
Will have like one good game in a blue moon, and it just happens to be against the New York Rangers.
But it just keeps happening too, because then it's Stolarz, then it's Shelofs. Like, wow.
I know it's like, oh, how does it keep happening? Like, the only common denominator is the Rangers. But when you were watching these games, like, these goalies are genuinely making like absurd saves.
I don't know.
I don't
Something's
get
wrong.
It.
Well, Something's wrong.
I know.
Telling
it's
you.
Also crazy because like. You know it's a problem when, like, me as a Cavs fan was like, we should not have won that game.
Yes,
exactly. What was the feel?
Oh my god,
being a Cavs
the Rangers
fan
dominated
beating,
that game.
Actually, crazy because I was like, okay, so I couldn't get the game like to watch, so I'm listening to the radio and I'm reading.
Grace
Kurt's
has my Gotham Sports
love a good
account,
radio broadcast.
Yeah, I'm reading Kurt's tweets, and I'm like,
nice.
And I'm like, how is this like happening? Like, actually, how is this possible? Because like Lindgren. Like, he's a good goalie, but he's not, like, incredible
like
that.
The saves he was making.
Actually insane. Yeah.
In Washington, ever since he's gotten to Washington, it's been, like, one of the craziest lock-ins I've ever seen.
He also plays really well against the Rangers, and I think before it was because his brother was on the team, and now he's, like, I don't know if it's just, like, a continuation, but.
Yeah.
So I know what the problem is here.
And it's not Chris
it's
Kreider.
Very clear.
It's not Chris
yes,
Kreider.
It is. It's
no.
that Chris Kreider no. is over in Anaheim and is scoring two goals a game,
no.
and the Rangers can't score at home.
And Keandre Miller is popping off in Carolina.
It is not Chris Kreider.
Jacob Trouba
no,
is drawing
you,
slashes in Anaheim. Like,
like
it's kind of like
just,
all the players
all
who were
up.
Good and
exactly.
are gone now are still being
and
good
they
elsewhere.
Just, they put a curse on the Rangers, and so they're
yeah.
I'll,
the argument that they put a curse on the Rangers, I can get by, but I don't think this team is any better if.
I
if
think they're
Filipino,
better.
Filipino, Chris Kreider, or whatever are around.
I just feel like...
Kreider was here last year when we had like
and he
like
had 25
colossal
goals,
collapse.
Though.
Yeah, and what? Please, but, we didn't do anything last season except just put 13
shots
on goal.
But nobody else is scoring.
In a game.
He has four goals this season, and Panarin, Zibanejad, and Miller have a combined zero. I'm pretty sure.
But they're getting the opportunities. We need to remember regression to the mean. I know you told me you had your stats midterm today.
Oh my god.
Regression to the mean. This is what Miller was saying. We're five games in. It's
I don't
a small.
Believe him.
That's barely even a usable sample
it's
size,
a small
Sophia.
Sample size.
That's a very small
it's six
sample
games
size.
Now.
Okay, our end value is six. We need it to be like, when our end value is 40, then we'll be able to look at ourselves
40.
In the mirror and be like, hey,
half
what's going
season?
On? Yeah.
How about 20? Like 25, maybe.
It's just that your one job as a hockey player is to score a goal. The Sabres and the Blackhawks are putting up eight goals in a game, and the Rangers can't buy one.
But they're playing well.
I know. That's why I don't understand. Like, what's happening?
Exactly why
Put
it's
it
not
the
personnel.
Net.
It's
yeah, exactly.
It's, I like. I will go to. I will.
It's just infuriating.
Someone's
to watch.
Being sacrificed tonight by me, and I don't know. I haven't chosen who it is yet.
To watch. And it's awful when I go to the Rangers game and I see them score zero goals, and then I come home and I watch Chris Kreider score in with a minute left
yeah,
on the power.
The late
like,
game
okay.
is on, and it's
yeah.
the Ducks, and it's Chris
exactly.
Kreider playing.
That's literally
great.
What happened.
If he was on the Rangers, he'd hit the post.
No, he wouldn't. He's the only
no,
one who could
would.
Score.
Well, who knows? Because, like, honestly, so much went wrong between the Rangers, like, organizationally, and a lot of the players that they let go or traded and moved at some point
like
in the last season.
I feel like this is finally the punishment for Barkley Goodrow.
No, it's like any number of players who are across the league now could have placed a curse on the New York Rangers. It could have been Trouba. It could have been Barkley Goodrow. It could have been anybody. It could have been Peter Laviolette.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it was him because that was an ugly separation as well. Like, this Rangers team just had so much negative energy around it from last year, and it kind of feels like, I mean, again, small sample size, but it feels like the lack of scoring and, like, playing well but not finding the back of the net could be, like, latent negativity
Karma.
From last season carrying over. And even a new head coach, a new man behind the bench couldn't shake all of that negativity from last year. That was a toxic locker room.
It was a bad situation. It's not
this year, but you know, like, it's kind of like the whisperings of it are still in the air. Who knows what's going on inside Mika Zibanejad's head?
I think
because I still think he's a head case.
He's been really good.
He's played really well. Honestly, like, I never would have went up to him usually last year because he was so, like, he was like a Debbie Downer and he'd like talk quietly and like I was like, okay, I just don't want to go over to him, but like I went over to him after the Edmonton game.
Poor unapproachable Mika.
He like he was very like he's giving like a lot more like thoughtful responses this year because I think he kind of realizes like he's playing well but he needs to take it a step up. I think the big thing right now though isn't how Mika's playing. It's definitely how Panarin and JT are playing. They're playing hurt.
Exactly.
Panarin like fakes an injury every year for the preseason, and he certainly could have benefited from some preseason games, I would think.
He's just invisible. He doesn't look like himself at all.
He's a little rusty.
I think he's rusty.
Not playing hurt, but rusty.
Rusty, yeah.
Because unless, like, this is still under the assumption that that injury in the preseason was
like, usually
it's like corralling the puck. He's like over corralling the puck.
He's usually such a
dynamic
player to watch, and right now he's just there.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't have a shot at all.
Yeah. The top six, because Sheary's on the top six now.
By the way, Connor Sheary's played excellent.
He's played excellent, but I'm just like, why is he on the top six?
There's always, like, I feel like every team has one player. When you look at the top six, you're like, how is that guy managed to be on the top six?
Well, and yeah, like Dawson Mercer from like 2 years ago.
Like, even, I
don't, or Andre Palat still.
Yeah.
Why is he on the
but
first
line? You know
what
I mean? Like, even good teams will have like randomly like a random player on the top six, and you're like, why is this guy in the top six? But then you watch the game, and you're like, okay, he fills the need.
Yeah.
At least Shesterkin is still playing.
Oh, yeah. Igor's been the best goalie.
He's been great.
Season.
You talked about those expected goals, and like they were a little bit higher for opposing teams too. And the reason that they're not scoring as many goals as they could
is because Igor's only given up. Yeah. Let's call it one goal in regulation each game. One goal in regulation each game that he's played in. Because
that's
empty
fantastic.
Nets, yeah,
empty
and how,
nets
don't
how,
count.
How are they losing
the
those games?
Goal
that he's
OT.
Letting up one goal. In.
Yeah, because the puck is just
the
post.
fourth line has also been really good. Rempe, Carrick, Edstrom. It's so funny to watch them because they look good.
Yeah.
Like, they are getting a lot of O-zone time, and then the time in the D-zone, they're forechecking and they're doing their thing.
I'll admit that if Rempe spent his entire first season in the NHL just skating around and being a bruiser, but then actually, like, decided to learn how to play hockey this offseason, I'll consider that he might be a decent player.
Rempe's actually, like... I've always been like a.
He seems to have more of a hockey mind this year. Like positionally, he's doing better. Like
he was immature.
Preseason against the Devils, I saw him like dragging defenders with him just because he's a big body and they need like two guys to double team him.
And what he's been doing now that he wouldn't have done his first and second season is he's going in for the big hits. Like if a defenseman has the puck behind the net and he's like the guy forechecking, he'll go in, but then he'll pull up and then the defenseman will just get rid of the puck. So then if Edstrom or Carrick goes in, like, it forces a turnover. But he's not hitting the guy to the point where it's a boarding penalty. Because the reality is, a lot of the, with Rempe the past couple years, a lot of the hits he made did not have the intention of being dirty. But when you are double the size, you just have to know.
Yeah.
You have to know. That's the reality.
You have to be aware.
Yeah. And that when you hit someone, just because you're so much bigger than them, that the force that it's going to happen with and where you're going to hit them, even if you don't, like, that's the thing about
Even
Rempe.
If it's clean, it's going to look bad
exactly.
because
yeah,
of how
so
big
many
he
fines
is.
His
he,
first
like,
year
he's,
because
he's not
he
a dirty
so
player.
Big.
He just doesn't know how. He didn't know how to handle, like, his body in
bowl in a china shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Effectively.
But now he's kind of learned what's good and what's bad. And he's going to have some stupid penalties this year. That's just his game. But he's learned these past couple games how to use his size, but also he's skating. He wants the puck on his stick, and that line as well. Carrick, I don't know why so many Rangers fans are quick to like dog on Sam Carrick because
he's been a
phenomenal Ranger.
He's
makes
great.
$1 million a year.
Yeah. The game that I was at, he was amazing.
Yeah.
The game against
against the Oilers, he was the best the best Ranger forward.
And he had the best chances.
I mean, yes. He had the breakaway, like the partial breakaway. Yeah. He hit the post or crossbar. So he's played well. My one issue with that line is Sullivan's a man of his word. And Laviolette and Gallant haven't been. Yeah. I don't love putting them out with under 3 minutes because they're a get in, keep the puck in the offensive zone, try and get a dirty goal. Where, like, in the last 3 minutes of the game when the Rangers have been down one, you need puck possession.
Yeah.
So just because they've been, like, the consistently the offensive zone, it's not really the same style. Like, you need the puck possession.
Yeah, I would also agree. And it's just like,
but I don't hate the, like, I get Sullivan's thinking.
I get it. It's just like, you're down one goal, yeah, and you like just shorten your bench and put your, yeah, best players out there. But then it's a struggle because they might have been the best line
in the
game.
Line.
So
it's just they don't cycle a puck. They get in and, yeah, they cause havoc, and because they do that, they get, like, dirty looks. But in, like, the end of the game, you kind of just want, like, you want to see that cycle and then, like, a eventual goal go in from your stars. So that's why I was kind of like, why are we not shortening, yeah, our bench? Yeah. But they're essentially the third line.
I'm sitting there, and I'm going, this is the third game, or whatever. This is whatever game in a row that you're down 1-0 with 10 minutes left, and it's just the same cycle over and over. Like, how... down one goal.
Yeah.
All you have to do is score two, and then you win.
They're definitely not in as bad shape as at least as I thought going in, or as much as, like, your guys' reactions has, like...
They look so much better than I
would have
thought.
Guys,
yeah.
The way you guys are talking about the Rangers, it sounds like they're 0-5, but they're 2-3-1?
Yeah,
they're 2-3-1. And honestly, I think I'm willing to give the Caps game back and probably the Maple Leafs game back.
Yeah,
as well.
I would give the Maple Leafs.
So
I would give the Oilers game. They hit two posts.
I would say call it like a tentative 4-1 and, or no, what would it be? 4-2, right?
Yeah.
Just take away the overtime loss. Yeah. So tentative 4-2 for the 2-3-1 New York Rangers. But yeah, they mix in a road shutout of the Sabres during the stretch of home shutouts, and they just wallop the Pittsburgh Penguins in Pittsburgh 6-1. Like, in the two wins that they've had, they have been absolutely dominant. No question about
That's why it was so weird to watch them come home and then get
they just can't
twice.
Figure it out at home. Yeah. And, like,
but
home
the,
for the Rangers
the
has usually been
is,
really
they played
like,
the same game.
A solid space.
They played like the exact same game.
I know.
Just won't cross the goal. Like, it's like there's like a force field.
They're first in high danger chances.
Maybe that ice is
60
funny
in the
in
entire
MSG.
NHL.
No, it's like whatever goal the Rangers are shooting on, there's like literally they put a metal thing in a puck.
Plexiglass.
And they like
literally
a force field. So that like it's just like it's two magnets going.
You're talking magnetic repulsion. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they just put like a
they
piece
put
of
you,
plexiglass
they put the south
in front of the goal.
So two south sides are trying to go in, and it's just not going to work.
No. Shout out for the physics lesson, Lydia. I appreciate it.
Of course.
But I mean, I think that we're all like pretty, like we've all been pretty confident, I feel like, here that it's gonna end at some point. Like,
definitely.
This streak of just
the
not
players,
scoring
the
is
fans,
gonna end at some point.
The media, everyone is kind of like, is frustrated, but then we have to take, like, we've all been taking a step back and being like, holy crap, they're actually playing really well. Like, we would have never expected this.
It's funny, like, going through Twitter and everyone's just like, I'm so confused. Mm-hmm. I've never been more confused and baffled watching a team be consistently, like, play consistently well and just can't put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
I don't know what it is. They also played, like, the Oilers, I was really worried about playing against them because the Rangers, even when they were good in 2023, 2024, fast teams, man, were their Achilles heel. Yep. Like, always. And I was like, all right, going to this game, if they can somehow control the pace of the game, especially take away, you know, Draisaitl, take away McDavid, they're going to be in really good shape. And they did that. The one problem was Vaakanainen kind of tried to dump the puck in and it like hit the linesman's foot. But he did have an option in Schneider. So like unlucky bounce and Frederick goes the other way, but
and I believe it's 17 opportunities on the power play so far this season
the
for
the
Rangers.
We got to talk about
the special teams.
Yeah.
Because it's 11.8% ranks 26th in the league.
And they
to start out here.
And
it's
they
a
only
slow
scored
start.
Power play goals in that one game
Pittsburgh,
in Pittsburgh.
Cooley and Fox twice, I think. Yeah.
And then they're like 0-12 or something.
Yeah, the power
otherwise.
Play it's gotten looks,
it's
but definitely
Kreider.
Definitely, I think someone, you need to take away, like, the eyes in front. But the problem is, like, first it was Trocheck that was in. Now Trocheck's hurt. So now you're putting Lafreniere in there. And Panarin's rusty, so he's not taking the one-timer. So the cross-ice passes are going through, but he's still not taking the one-timer. Power play, too, looks like a mess because, people are on the wrong sides. So that needs to be ironed out because your power play has to be your best.
Lafreniere makes me really sad. I love him
so much. I think
he's
playing good hockey.
But it's like
the season.
But I just feel like watching Schaefer as a number one pick, it's like Lafreniere was supposed to be that.
Yes, but Schaefer has a very different developmental path. Lafreniere joined a Rangers team where he knew he where the only option was to be buried, because the Rangers never deserved that first overall pick. They were a couple points out of a playoff spot in the COVID year, and then they did the expanded playoff format, and that's how the Rangers got their ping pong ball or whatever. But it should have, like, a number one overall pick is supposed to, like, jump in and, like, play a big role. Laff jumped in the first 3 years.
But that's why the whole thing makes me sad. His development makes me sad, and, like, the way, like, where he is
Kako
now.
Kako was the same
because,
way.
Because, I know. And it just sucks, like, the Rangers, how the Rangers develop their players or fail to develop their players. And, like, it's a trend because all of their, like, first round picks have just been not, like, it's just so difficult to watch. And it's also, like, Panarin, like, Lafreniere had such a good season last year because he was on Panarin's line, and now that Panarin isn't really producing, Laff isn't doing much either. I mean, no one's doing
anything. Give it some time. Laff's looked good, I think. I know it's the beginning of the season, and it's been a little rough with.
But how many
offense,
how many more seasons can you honestly do?
I'm not
Laff
saying
looks
season.
Good.
I love.
I know, but, like, going back to every season that Lafreniere has been a New York Ranger, like, how many more seasons in a row is it going to be of Laff's playing pretty good?
I don't care if Laff scores 40 points during regular season if he plays how he did in the playoffs,
true,
like he did in 2023, 2024. Same thing with Barkley Goodrow at the time.
You do need to make the playoffs.
Exactly. But we'll get there. That's what the other players are for.
And you need to score goals to make the
playoffs. This is the first year he's been on power play one.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But then are they going to take him off it when Toto
comes back?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So what do you think they're going to do?
I have no idea, but I don't think they can take Laff off of it.
Interesting.
Trocheck power play
Trocheck's, too? Well, Trocheck's because, on because long-term IR, so he has to be at least out for, like, another, like, 7 games or something.
Yeah, I know, but in the beginning of the season when Trocheck was still there, Laff was on power play too.
But Sullivan, like, was always asked about that a lot. Yeah, and he said, we're going to change it up.
So hopefully they can figure out the power play and it can help him and the rest of the team.
Well, last thing about the Rangers, I guess, you reminded me. Talk about developing young players. Brendan Othman might be on the trade block.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
And I never liked the Othman pick when they picked him. They reached for him. I think they should trade him too.
What's the return there?
It's someone
player,
else who needs
draft stock.
Like, something I saw was, like, you need two players that need a change of scenery. So it was like, I saw, like, Othman for, like, Oliver Moore. Personally, I think the Blackhawks would laugh in our face if we asked, like, you can have Brendan Othman, we'll take Oliver Moore. But I think the thing with Othman is, I think I mentioned a couple weeks on this pod, he's got a little bit of an ego. Uh-huh. And he's always been the best player on a team. And now that he's not the best player on a team, he, like, doesn't know what to do. Like, I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of him.
I just
as a player.
Feel like the change of scenery would be good, and I don't think that he's.
I don't think New York's his city.
No, I don't think so. I mean, we've said this before, but it's like he's had so many chances already that letting him go isn't really going to do much.
All right, they go to Montreal tomorrow night, 7 p.m. The Canadiens, who
I swear to God,
are not
Sam
a pushover
Montembeau
team, and it's another goalie who has a tendency to get really hot at times.
Sam Montembeau always, like, played, like, insane against the Rangers.
Is it a 30-35 save night for Montembeau, or are the Rangers gonna get it done on the road here? Because,
like,
you look at the Rangers' schedule too. Like, we talked about the Islanders. Sophia said they could go on a 5-game win streak. I don't hate that because they're playing against teams that are kind of trying to find their way at the moment. The New Jersey Devils are they're going into a tough-ish stretch. I would say tougher than the Islanders. The Devils have Edmonton Saturday, Toronto next Tuesday, Minnesota the day after on Wednesday, and then San Jose Friday, top it off with Colorado on Sunday. The Rangers, though, go to Montreal tomorrow, then Minnesota in the Garden on Monday, Garden again on Thursday for San Jose. And then at Calgary to kick off a 4-game West Coast road trip. That would be Sunday.
That should be 3-1.
I was going to say it's going to be 2-2 because I don't think that they are going to do anything.
What is Minnesota the loss? Because, like, if the way the Rangers have played to start this season, especially since the Minnesota game is at home, I have to imagine MSG becomes a winning sheet of ice for the Rangers soon.
I think they
if
win
not
against,
next game.
I think they win against Minnesota. I think Montreal could
be. So if they beat
tough,
Minnesota, I feel like
Sharks and Calgary out west, I think, should be wins.
I think you gotta shoot for 4-0
here.
With a 2-3-1 start, I think you gotta shoot 4-0.
I think it's very much doable.
4-0 immediately sets the season back on track.
Yeah.
But if, like, a couple losses in this stretch,
just get back
to
500,
split it 2-2. It's 2-2 would be 500, right? It would be like 5-5-1 or 4-5-1. Yeah.
Yeah, if they go 2-2.
It'll wind up 4-5-1, so like,
or
yeah,
you go
3-1.
2-0-1 or something.
I think they need to go positive here.
Yeah.
Just because, like, you need to get the season back on track. Otherwise, like, tossing in more losses early in the season can easily derail the entire season.
Especially against these teams where, like, you should be winning.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to lose.
Well, the Oilers and Caps being like, all right, hypothetically, like, if you were to look at the schedule before the season starts, you'd probably give them losses on that. So that's okay. Pittsburgh opening night, you'd want to win there.
Yeah.
But, like, to me, like, next week or so, like, that should be a 4-game win streak.
And it would be a much needed one.
Yeah.
After Calgary, they go Vancouver, Edmonton, Seattle, like on a continued West Coast road trip.
They play well on the West Coast.
Come home
yeah,
and play
do.
Carolina.
The Pacific Northwest West Coast road trip usually is good to them.
Yeah. Like, through into the start of November, it's not the easiest schedule for the Rangers. They probably have the hardest schedule out of the three Metro teams going into the start of November.
Their end of the season, they're like at home for like 15 of the last 17 games.
Yeah.
That's like kind of ridiculous.
It's like it's something like really crazy like that. Maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but
no, I mean, it's not that crazy. There's a stretch in March to early April where they play 7 of 9 at home.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, not 7 of 9. It's 8 of 9.
Yeah.
They play 8 of 9 at home in that stretch. That's ridiculous.
Which could be like the deciding factor in the season.
Totally.
I think it's 7 in a row at home. Yeah, 7 straight at home from the end of March to the start of April, and then 3 on the road to end the season.
Yeah.
So that could be really interesting. But yeah, either way, the Devils are great. Islanders are rebuilding better than we expected. Rangers have a chance to get their season back on track. But it's early.
Yeah, it's way
guys,
early.
It's the early going. So we have so much hockey left to go in this season. I'm happy about it. The hockey season is back. Glad to be back on 5-on-3 with an A-host again. I'm glad to be running the show. But that's just about going to do it for us this afternoon. Thanks so much to Abby Cristofaro on production for us today. Thanks to Lydia Perner, Emily Leonardi, Sophia Smith. I have been Tucker Austin, and 5-on-3 is a production of WFUV Sports.